Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
I gotta tell you, this music gets better and better every single week. Except for when it skips a little bit. When it skips a little bit, you know, that's not as good. But every week, this music gets a little more exciting. And I'm telling you, I'm going to send you the actual CBS. Because this is like the NBC/Fox sports basketball song. But for the actual NCAA tournament, Tony, we gotta, legitimately. I like it too, but you've got to get the da 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 da, because that's what you're gonna hear for three solid weeks every 5 seconds when we go to commercial every 5 seconds.
I think I'm just gonna mark
CBS.
I think I'm just gonna mark the tape and make a soundbite of you doing it and play that.
No, I got you covered. I'll find it. You don't want to hear me sing as a soundbite on the podcast. Welcome, everyone, into the Pick and Roll Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And, of course, I am your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd. That other voice you heard is Mr. Saturday Night, among a dozen other monikers that I have for him. Mr. PC Tunney, the man in charge, the boss man, the super producer, the lord of the podcast. Now I'm just making stuff up. I got nothing back. Back after a week off from the Pick and Roll Podcast, for very good reasons, by the way, noble listeners, because our teams had games. And we were going to watch our teams play their games. So I watched we usually record on a Tuesday. And I told Tunney straight up when we started this podcast, I was like, I will happily do Tuesdays unless Illinois, the University of Illinois, is playing on the Peacock streaming game on Tuesday, at which point I will not be recording on Tuesday. And last Tuesday, my beloved Fighting Illini took on the Purdue Boilermakers and were reminded just why Purdue is considered a Final Four contender, as they turned a 6-point halftime deficit into a 6-point victory through just some of the most clutch shooting I think you could see to end a game. Braden Smith hit a dagger three and did the go-to-sleep gesture to the Illini faithful after hitting it, and it couldn't even be mad at it. Like, the dude squared up Terrence Shannon, and, he was Big Ten logo deep behind the three-point arc and just fucking knocked it down. And every time Illinois tried to cut that late lead, Purdue had an answer from three, and it was just... they were clutch, and I'm a week out of it now, so I'm a little bit more sportsmanlike. At the time of the defeat, I may have written on X Twitter that I was in no mood to be a good sport. Fuck Purdue. I may have also written that on a message board because I was in no mood to be a good sport. Fuck Purdue. Got a lot of love on the University of Illinois fan-friendly message board. Got some pokes from some Purdue fans where they were like, yada, 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 we're better than you. To which I simply reply, when I post something like that, I know I'm going to get replies, Tony. I just reply, good for you, whenever somebody replies it. So when they're like, yeah, Purdue's better than you, and I'm like, good for you. Like, you know, good for you. I don't really care. I hate your team right now. So walking away a week later, I'm okay. And then your Marquette Golden Eagles taking on the UConn Huskies. Were you down a couple guys? Was Kolek still out for that
game, or was he back there? He was there, and then he got a different injury, and I think we're missing one of the big guys. And yeah, it's been interesting. That's why the win over Xavier was pretty big for them without Kolek. We'll see if he's going to be back or not this week for the Big East
tournament. Right.
But they're definitely a contender with him, and without him, not so much probably. They're just a really good basketball team.
Yeah, it's really hard to know what Marquette will be when the health of arguably the best point guard in the nation is not 100%. I think it's already been said. I don't think he's – have they said if he's going to play in the Big East tournament?
Not yet.
Because I know Kansas made a decision with both Kyle McCuller and – Hunter Dickinson nursing injuries. They and Bill Self's already come out and announced like McCuller and Dickinson are sitting. So I would expect Kansas to. It could go one of two ways. It could go Kansas is going to rally for the team. Problem is they don't have depth. Their bench is really short. I think they're going to be an early exit from the Big 12 tournament, and that's with intent, and that's for them to try and get healthy. So we'll see what happens there. But that kind of segues nicely into what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a couple of different things on today's Pick and Roll podcast. These three weeks of college basketball, last week, this week that we are in right now as we record, and next week are three of my favorite weeks in all of sports because we are in conference tournament weeks. Last week, you start getting some of those smaller mid-major one-bid conferences kicking their tournaments off. This week, the big boys start to kick off the ACC tournament as we are recording today. Their first round action is ongoing. We've already had one game. Louisville season is over. They went down to NC State. Miami and Boston College just ended. That game went to overtime, which is funny because when you look at the final score of 81-65, you're like, how did it go to overtime? Because Boston College boat raced the Fighting Larrañagas in that overtime game. But we're wrapping up those mid-majors. We get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and most of the major conferences start kicking off their tournaments. So Tony and I are going to talk some conference tournaments. And then after the break, we're going to give you all our All-American team. This was four easy names and a hard fifth one for me. We'll save that for after the break. But really, really... just an exciting day. And then next week we're rolling into Selection Sunday. Funny. We'll be reacting to Selection Sunday. We will be reacting to, cause the first four in Dayton is a week from Wednesday. And we'll be 6 days from when, like the NCAA tournament, when this podcast drops, will be a week from this podcast. And that's exciting. That's my favorite time of year. That's 2 days off from work. I go sit in a Buffalo Wild Wings and tell Gina, my waitress, to just keep bringing me beers, checking to make sure I am satisfied on fried pickles and wings, and that I'm seated where I can see four televisions simultaneously and watch basketball for an afternoon. It's the best days off ever by myself. I don't even care how lonely I look. I don't care how sad I look with my brackets just spread out in front of me. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
No one's arguing with you.
I didn't say anybody was. I want to acknowledge how kind of sad it is.
No, it's all good. You like what you like. You know what you want. You're not bothering anybody. Yep. You tip well. There you go.
I do. Just the tip. I mean, tip well, yes. No sex jokes. Sorry. I went there. My fault. All right. So let's get to it. We're going to talk about the Power Six conference tournaments. But before we do that, here's my question to you. Which do you find more entertaining to watch? The Power Six conference tournaments or the mid-major one bid conference tournaments?
I mean, obviously, if you get a good mid-major championship, you know everything's on the line. Like, even though this team might have only lost 5 or 6 games, if they don't win this conference tournament, their whole season's done for. They're not getting into the NCAA tournament, right? Whereas, like you said, a lot of the major conference championship games, even semifinal games, are between teams that have already basically locked up at worst and at large bid. So any which way you put it, though, when a team's season is on the line, you know, sometimes you get, like, I don't know, who's really down on their luck this year. Georgia Tech, they lost tonight, but Notre Dame was a 12 seed, so they're probably not in unless they win the conference tournament. What if they get on a run and they have a big game in a semifinal on a Saturday night on ESPN against Duke or North Carolina? You know what I mean? So those games can be fun as well.
Yeah, I really wrestle with this because with the mid-majors, and right now there's one currently as we're recording, Stony Brook and the College of Charleston. College of Charleston, number one team in their conference, should be the conference champion, should be the team earning that automatic bid. They're in a dogfight with a number 7 seed, Stony Brook. On my sort of score bug, they are up 2 in overtime. And there's such a fascinating drama to the mid-major conference tournament where, like you said, not only is it all on the line, but those teams, like, this is their shot. And you can do everything right during the season and be a regular season conference champion, and you lose in your conference tournament title game, and you're going to the NIT at best. And that just stinks. But then you get over to the major conference tournaments. We're going to talk about this, especially those bubblicious tournaments. And there's a couple of conference tournaments. There's a ton of teams on the bubble that this is their last hope of playing their way in. And then there's the bid steal. And the major conference tournaments is where bid stealing can happen. And so I'll use your example. Georgia Tech, who you just said, their season's over. But or Notre Dame, you said Notre Dame's still in? So Notre Dame goes on this magical run, has had an atrocious season, wins their conference tournament. One of those other bubble teams that's watching, probably from a major conference, is sweating even harder and can feel like it's done. Like the Iowas of the world. Michigan State, which I think Michigan State should be on the bubble. It's obscene to me that a team with 18 wins is not in it, like, still seems to be this solidly in team. When they're the eyeball, you watch that team play, they are not a tournament team. They are not. They are an NIT team. But Tom Izzo, but what they're doing, and I can see where you're going to go, they're leaning on the victory over Baylor back at the beginning of the season. They beat Illinois. I'll give you that. They've got a couple of victories that people have really gotten excited about. And for some reason, because they play shitty close games, it makes it look like their metrics are unbelievable. And they're not. Like, they have Tyson Walker and they have nobody else. But hey, you know, they should be a team that's sweating, and they should be a team that should be worried if an Ohio State, who we're going to talk about when we talk about the Big Ten, if an Ohio State makes a run, wins the Big Ten tournament, you know, Michigan State and Iowa are looking at themselves like, what the fuck? Indiana has the same record as Michigan State. But we ain't talking about Indiana. Anyway. Well, that's a whole other thing.
Indiana's 0-6 against the top 25.
Who cares? Who's playing the best? Here's the other thing I'll ask. Who's currently won 5 out of 4 out of the last 5?
I, I I don't really give a shit about any of those fucking teams, to be honest with you. I'm just stating facts for you. Where's my beer?
Who's lost four out of their last five? Who's
the Badgers?
Like, it's just,
is it the Badgers?
Yeah, the Badgers.
They're horrible.
The Badgers are terrible, too.
They're going to get a 7 seed, though.
So we got our Power 6. We got our Power 6 conferences. For me, the Power 6, that's the Big East. That's the ACC. That's the SEC. It's the Big 12. Pac-12, I guess, and the Big 10. I don't think we need to talk about the Pac-12. That is a two bid league at best, maybe three. Arizona's going to get in. Arizona's in the mix for a one seed. I don't know that they're going to get it. I think that right now the current darling to get the last one seed seems to be North Carolina, because we have to punish Tennessee for going through a brutal stretch of four quad one games.
I think,
and they went 3-4 in those quad one games.
I think it's undecided. I think it's still Tennessee. I think Lenardi even still has Tennessee.
I think it's Tennessee's to lose, but what I think is hilarious is UNC, who's in a shitty ACC, and that tournament is also not exactly stellar with teams that are going to get in. You've got a down ACC because UNC beat Duke twice. That somehow vaulted them.
Well, we'll get
into the number one seed conversation.
We're going to get into that. You said you don't want to talk about the Pac-12 at all?
I mean, there's not much to say about the Pac-12.
You don't think Colorado gets in? They're 22-9. They got 13
wins.
But I think Oregon gets in, too. I think all four of those top teams there get in.
Okay, let's talk realistically here. What are the two teams you care about? They got two ranked teams in their league. They got Washington State. And they got Arizona.
Right.
So they're a four bid league.
I would say
any of those teams wins the tournament. The thing that fascinates me with Arizona is when they lose badly to like bad teams, and it's kind of crazy to me. I'm just not that impressed with the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big Ten are the three most unimpressive power conferences this season, and it's not even close. And I would say the Big Ten is basically one great team, one good team, and a lot of middling teams. You know, Nebraska outkicked its coverage and is having the season of the year. Congrats to Fred Hoiberg, by the way, co-coach of the year with Matt Painter, rightly deserved. You got a Wisconsin team that's in a tailspin. You've got a Michigan State team that's in a tailspin. And then you've got this combination of Iowa, Ohio State, and God help us, maybe Indiana that might play their way into a tournament by virtue of winning out. Like, that's really about it. I think Ohio State and Iowa have the most to gain in the Big Ten. You like how I just shunted the Pac-12, by the way, and just was like, we're going to talk about the Big Ten now.
I see that. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, tell me about the Pac-12. Who should I care about?
No, we're done. We did it. That's all. You just said two bids, and I wanted to be like, I think there's more than two bids. Sorry, Pac-12.
So
I tried.
So here's. I don't even think this is a hot take.
The greatest conference of all time doesn't even want to talk about
no.
it.
No.
The conference of champions.
Thanks, Bill. Shut up, Bill. Get the fuck out of here, jackass. Here's the thing is, I actually love Bill Walton. I love when he's on Playboy. He's like, so many people hate that dude, and I love hearing him.
You know, Patrick, one day I was taking a bicycle ride all the way down to the beach. Nothing to do with basketball whatsoever.
But here's what's kind of bizarre to me, like, as I look at this. I think Ohio State is the team to watch out of the Big Ten tournament. They are ever since Holtman, they're 5-1 since Chris Holtman got fired. They beat Purdue. Who did they lose to? The Northwestern, maybe?
Yeah.
But they've just looked thoroughly competent. And actually, what's crazy is if this team had played the way they are playing right now under John Diebler, they're probably a top 5 team in the Big Ten, and one of those teams that we're saying is solidly in. Bruce Thornton has looked a lot better. They've been really, really solid. They're playing a desperate Iowa team, and these are the two hottest teams in the Big Ten, by the way, Iowa and Ohio State. Two hottest teams in the Big Ten. Both have something to play for. Iowa needs to probably win two to get into the tournament. They probably got to beat Ohio State. They probably got to beat Illinois. Ohio State's probably got to run the table and get all the way to at least the finals. But both of those teams, I think, have a legit chance of making the tournament if they win a couple of games. Indiana, bizarrely to me, is the sixth. They finished sixth in the Big Ten because of all of the different weird tiebreakers that have happened there. They're not out of the conversation. Everyone else that would be solidly in is in, though I don't think Michigan State should be in. I think that's a joke.
See, I'm all for you having to have a winning record in your conference. I guess 500 would suffice as well. But I would rather see more.
But if you win your tournament.
No. I mean automatic bids.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I would like to see more of the better mid-major teams that get left out, considering the recent success of these teams as well. You know, we're having more very, very mid-major teams win games in the tournament now and advancing. So, I don't know. That's just me. To be honest with you, I don't see Indiana getting in whatsoever. I think Michigan State and Ohio State, they have the two wins over Iowa's one win against the top 25. So, a lot of that's going to come down to it. And when you go back and look at it, it's like, well, maybe you should have got to that 11th win in the Big Ten to make sure you got in.
You would think. But again, if you went out and make a run, I don't think Indiana gets in unless they win the tournament.
Right.
I think they're a team that's got to run to the finals. I think the team, like I said, I think the team that has the best shot is, oddly enough, I think it's Ohio State.
Could be.
Because of the way they're playing. I think Ohio State has to get to at least the finals.
The win over Purdue is big. So,
it was big. And it's something that a lot of other teams can't say that they did. Let's move over to the ACC, where here's the thing. North Carolina, Duke, those guys are locks. Virginia's a number three seed. They're probably, they're a lock, probably a lower level lock. Pitt is when it gets kind of weird. And then Clemson as the six, Wake Forest maybe, but then Wake Forest got a big win against, like, I remember on this podcast bragging about Wake Forest, then they stubbed their toe. Stubbed their toe and like lost to a really bad, I want to say, I think they lost to like a Georgia Tech or somebody like that. Just a really bad team. You know, they've probably got work to do against Notre Dame. The rest of that league, like low Clemson, I don't really see it.
I think you could see Syracuse or Wake Forest make it, and if they can get a quality win here against, Virginia or Duke, is possible. I don't see Carolina really losing to anybody in this tournament, to be honest with you. I think Carolina's pretty good.
Right.
To be honest. I just
Carolina's really good, especially since Cormac Ryan started making baskets.
I mean, if Carolina is put themselves into the ACC championship game and Tennessee has an early exit, I think they deserve to be a number one seed. But I just don't see that happening for Tennessee. I think they're going to come back strong here in the tournament.
What if Kentucky wins the SEC tournament?
Well, then,
because, good Lord, those guys, they can't defend for shit, but they could score 150 points.
That they're going to be a tough out in the tournament. I'll just put it that way.
I was so out on Kentucky earlier in this season, and I think a lot of people were. And whatever Calipari has, like, I don't know if he's just been like, you know what, guys, fuck it, just shoot. And they are starting to defend a little bit better too. So credit where credit's due. They are playing some better defense. They were really impressive beating Tennessee on Tennessee's home floor, especially when you consider. And this is why I was so, to get back to this whole, who should be a number one seed thing. You go through that gauntlet where Tennessee beats Carolina, or South Carolina, sorry, Alabama, and what was the other one? Auburn?
Yeah, I think it was Auburn.
They beat these three of these four ranked teams, tournament teams. End of that gauntlet is a hungry Kentucky team. Now, granted, they beat that Kentucky team beat or was beat on their home floor by Kentucky, who, by the way, now the number two seed in the SEC tournament. I think Kentucky's played their way up to the three line as it is. But you want to talk about teams that got something to play for all up and down this tournament bracket. Ole Miss is playing for their tournament lives. Texas A&M playing for their tournament lives. Florida quietly has been a hell of a team.
I think Florida's in.
Oh yeah, I think they are too. They were ranked at one point. They're a dangerous team that nobody really talks about. They're just solid.
They have three top 25 wins, you know.
Yep. And then you got this 8-9 game, which might be an almost a de facto play-in game opportunity if Mississippi State and LSU can then get past Tennessee somehow. I don't see it happening, but they're playing to try and get to the semis. I think if they get to the semis with one win over each other and then a win over Tennessee, then like I think they're dancing. But it's gonna take a couple wins. It's a bubblicious tournament.
Bubblicious tournament. The SEC could eat up a lot of bids, man, if you really wanted to, because look at even Mississippi State at 8 and 10 in the conference, two top 25 wins, LSU 3, Texas A&M 2. I mean, whew.
Right.
And then you got Ole Miss sitting at 7-11 with 20 wins, but they're 0-7 against top 25.
Well, and what happened, it was so weird because Ole Miss was one of those teams that kind of feasted on a shitty non-con and got off to a really hot start. It was like, it's actually kind of like Ole Miss football. Like Ole Miss football looks really, really good for like 7 weeks and everybody's like, Ole Miss is back. And then Lane Kiffin has to take on like Saban here and then he gets his ass handed to him and is like, thanks for playing.
Somebody's got to lose in these conferences though. The Southeast Conference is probably the second best conference in the nation, in my opinion.
We'll talk about the best conference last. So.
You look at five teams in the top 20, and then there's also Florida. So you know, yes. Six teams in your conference that are excellent is pretty tough.
Yeah, it's. And I think they're going to be a high bid league. I think they're probably going to be. I think they get 7 or 8, or there's an argument for 7 or 8 there. So, huge, huge deal. All right, so let's go to the UConn, the Big East Conference next. I don't think there's any drama around who we think is going to win this tournament, right? Like, do you agree with that? Do you think there's anybody that can give UConn a legit run? Do you think Creighton can do it again on a neutral?
Marquette and Creighton can, because they're both really good basketball teams. They're both really well
coached. But is Marquette healthy enough to do it?
That's the big question there. Creighton would be the team I would look to do that. The only other team that is, Seton Hall's decent, but they just haven't really been able to stay in games with UConn this year, I'm pretty sure. So, I don't know. You're probably right. Oh, no, I'm wrong. So Seton Hall does have a win against UConn.
Yeah, they pulled it off like really early in the season. Like UConn, it was kind of a shocker.
They just lost by 30 a couple weeks ago. That's what was fresh in my mind.
What's interesting about the Big East is their quarterfinal bye teams. You know, are all, I would argue, the top four in the league, no question. St. John's is an interesting case because they've got the number of wins. But their quality wins are non-existent. They're like 0-7 in quad one.
I think
Patino, and we love Patino, right?
I think St. John's is in for sure, and I think you could see Providence or Villanova getting in if they can win some games because they both have wins against the top 25. I think that they're going to see more teams come out of this conference than you think.
I think it's a 5 bid league.
I think you're going to get a 6th one.
Maybe 6, but I don't trust any of those teams. I don't trust Providence. I don't trust Villanova at all. And I actually don't think St. John's is really all that impressive. I think St. John's is much like Michigan State. Committee loves names. Committee loves
stories.
Coaches
can tell stories.
And you know, can you imagine how excited they would be to have Rick Pitino take on Tom Izzo in a first four game at Dayton? Because they want eyeballs on that. And you know, we can talk about Dayton maybe real quick after we wrap up here by talking about the Big 12, the best conference in basketball. I will say this. The thing I love about the Big East and the Big 12, their brand of basketball is way more fun to watch than some of these other conferences. And it's not really all that close.
Well, yeah, especially growing up in the Big Ten like we both have.
Yes, where boring basketball was what we were raised on.
I mean, Dick fucking,
offense is fun.
Dick Bennett. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. So, okay. Who can beat Houston? Can anybody beat Houston?
Oh, sure.
In this tournament.
I think Iowa State and Baylor can both beat Houston. Kansas, right, obviously is shutting it down. You look at Texas Tech and BYU, I don't think so. They'd have to play a really good game. And then you look at Texas Christian and Texas and Oklahoma all sitting there with 20 wins. It's just
right, but 20 wins doesn't mean what it used to mean.
No, but I think TCU is in for sure, and I think so is Texas, to be honest with you, because they have 20 wins. Texas has 3 top 25 wins. TCU has 4 top 25 wins, and I think that's why if Oklahoma can win a few games, maybe one against a Kansas or a Baylor or something, they might get in too. I think you're going to see less bids from, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it is only 3 out of the Pac-12. Maybe it is less out of the Big Ten, and it's more from the Big East and the SEC and the Big 12, because those three conferences are the best. Why not take away from the lower, the ACCs, the Big Tens, and give to the mid-majors?
Right. By the way, our good friend, he talks to me all the time, Jerry Palm, his last four in currently, as it stands on his latest bracketology, his last four in are New Mexico, Colorado, Seton Hall, and St. John's. That's his last four. His first four out, Pittsburgh, Utah, Texas A&M, and Iowa. Looking through some of this...
To have Seton Hall be one of your last four in when they have 3 top 25 wins, 13 wins in the Big East.
Yeah, but that's not – they don't look at top 25 wins anymore, Tony. They look at the net. They look at quad one wins. You gotta look at those metrics and see how many quad one victories you have. How are you on the road? You know, they've got so many of these squads – listen, I think it's hilarious that I will say this. He's got Nebraska and Northwestern listed as on the bubble, and that's a fucking joke. Especially Nebraska. Nebraska's earned their way in.
You don't think the top four teams in the conference at the end of the year for the top three conferences in the nation shouldn't be in the tournament?
I think that you have to look at the parity of basketball and look at it with a more critical eye. And when you've got teams that against the best of the best, what makes Seton Hall so appealing, by the way, is that they're 5-7 in quad one. They're 5-7 in quad one. They're 4-3 in quad two. They have one bad loss.
So
they have one quad three loss.
Why would they be one of the last four in?
Because their strength of schedule is a 228 out of 300.
Wow.
So who the fuck have you played? And that's important. And that's what they – if the committee does what they say they're doing, then that's important. That's why teams like a lot of these Big 12 teams that are on the bubble, the reason they're on the bubble is because their strength of schedule is in the 300s.
Let me tell you something. They beat a team that's already in the – they beat a team that's already in the tournament. They beat Wagner.
Hell yeah, 15-15 Wagner, strength schedule in the 300s. But that's also the beauty, by the way, of the – and I'm not even just throwing shade at the Big 12. Like you want to talk about the Big 10. Think holding Nebraska back, strength of schedule, 303. Northwestern, 332. You know, they're 4-6 in quad one games. Both teams are 4-6 in quad one games. They're not – blowing the doors off of people. All of these teams are decidedly flawed. And so it really depends on which metric you want to look at and where you put folks. But it makes it tough. And there's a lot of attention paid to some of these other things. Because there's other schools that are going to get punished by it, not get a bid simply by virtue of the conference they play on that hurts their strength of schedule. Indiana State. Indiana State has something like 25, 26 wins, lost in their conference final. They were ranked, but because they didn't play anybody, they're likely on the outside looking in. I mean, I'm looking for them here on this bracket. They're not projected on this bracket. They're not listed on the bubble. Like is that fair?
What conferences are they in?
That is a terrific question. The Indiana State Sycamores. I'm actually going to have to Google it because I don't know it well enough.
Missouri Valley, I got it.
Yeah, MVC. And the Missouri Valley, which used to be this, and they lost to Drake, and Drake's a good team. Drake was good out of the Valley. But they won the Missouri Valley regular season and then lost tournament final.
They have two games against teams that are in bigger conferences. They lost by 22 at Alabama, and they lost by 12 at Michigan State. So,
and that's killing them, and that's really what's killing them, is that they didn't play anybody else in their strength of schedule, and part of that is by virtue of
who won
the
it.
Conference
Drake,
they're
did,
in.
Did Drake beat them?
Drake won it in the final. Drake was up something like 18 points. Indiana State came all the way back, took a 2-point lead before running out of gas.
Well,
it is really what it came down
Drake
to. Drake
took 2 of 3 from Indiana State on the year. So,
well, yeah, because they split their regular season and then Drake won the conference tournament. Anyway, I think Indiana State should get in. I honestly think more mid-majors should get in. There's another game that's happening, the late night game tonight, the WCC championship. That is going to be a too big league because Gonzaga and St. Mary's are playing for that title. I think there should be more games like that, or more conferences like that, that get a second or third bid, as opposed to a middling Michigan State or a middling, and I'm really hammering down on Michigan State, but you have 18 wins. You don't even have the 20-win threshold that everybody likes to trump up. And because it's Michigan State, and because you won a game against Baylor, which you did win convincingly, I'll give you that. Whatever.
We're on the same page here, though. We are. We would rather not have a fledgling Power 6 team get in over an Indiana State-like team or a Drake-like team.
Sure.
St. Mary's,
a team that had a good season.
St. Mary's up early in the first half, but not by a lot.
Cool. Hey, real last question for you, and then we're going to take a commercial break.
Yeah.
First four in Dayton. By the time we record next week, the first four will be happening, if I'm not mistaken. It'll be because I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Monday, Tuesday in Dayton. They've traditionally had it be four power conference teams and four kind of last four mid-major, one-bid league teams, like Wagner, probably a first four team going to Dayton. I have always been of the mindset that it should be the last eight power six teams that play in Dayton, and that the one-bid teams should have that privilege, even if it's to be a 16 seed and get pistol-whipped by Connecticut and Purdue or whatever, that those schools deserve that part of the tournament and not Dayton.
So
what say you?
I agree with you, but I also, even though I disagree with the other side, the part of their argument that I hear the most, which means that I can kind of sympathize with or understand the most, is it gives these schools a chance to actually win an NCAA tournament game because it's not called a play-in. It's actually part of the, do you see? And I know you're like nodding your head going, well, fuck you. That is the one actual good thing, right?
No, I'm well, fuck you, NCAA, because it's really patronizing to not call it a play-in game. Like that's my argument, is that like, and I will say this, there is a nice niche that has been carved out by the first four in Dayton. Like, I know that it does well with ratings and stuff, but I also, it's like, oh, what, like, people are like, what a great story. They got an NCAA tournament win. Did they, though? Like, did they? Because we don't talk, like, we call it the Field of 68, but those four teams have to win an extra game to earn the privilege to maybe make a run. And I think I want to call it a power five or power six punishment. I really do. Like, I think that if you are a middling power six team that makes the tournament, you should be the ones that have to earn it a little harder. And with parity in college basketball getting closer, and I'm not saying that 16s are going to be beating ones left and right, but it's happening. It's happened twice now. It's going to happen again. Twos are going down to 15s more often now too. Like, the gap is closing.
You could literally go buy yourself a team if you wanted to as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I sent you a meme today that it's one of the funniest memes I've seen about college basketball, because it's a Parks and Rec joke, and I didn't know if you got the reference.
Oh no.
Or if you've seen the episode.
Oh yeah.
That it comes from. But I died because I saw it. I was like, yes. And basically, there's this dictator talking about how they just they explain sending everybody to prison, but somebody has taken the lines, and instead of saying prison, he's like, you know, didn't get the playing time you wanted as a freshman, you go into the portal. Played on a tournament team, are going to take over the reins and be the leader for the team next year. Also, surprisingly, still portal. Everybody goes into the transfer portal right now. As teams have ended their season, you're just seeing name after name already in the transfer portal. Plus, we still have COVID going on, and there's no restrictions on NIL. It's a joke. And so you literally, whoever has the most money can buy the most players. Now, whether they can be put together as a quality team, I've seen both sides of a successful portaling season. Last year, Illinois got some big fish. Team did not play well at all. Knew they were dead very, very early. Kind of stumbled into a 9 seed on the strength of 2 big wins, and then got bounced without even looking competitive against an okay Arkansas team. This year, they're much more coherent. They're a much better team. You know, do I think they're a national title team? No. Do I think they can make the second weekend? Absolutely. Comes down to matchups. All right, enough of this. We got to take a commercial break. When we come back, Tony and I are going to give you our pick and roll All-American teams. You are listening to the Pick and Roll Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Pick and Roll Podcast. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Remember to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot and get some sweet, sweet Chairshot swag. Shirts are only $19.99. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. We got all kinds of great designs. I'm actually wearing one today. I pulled out my hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling shirt. Okay. I haven't worn it in a long time. So, you know, you wrestling fans out there, we're a big sports entertainment podcast. We got a lot of sports entertainment shirts out there for you. And also, we got some quality entertainment shirts too. I own one of those as well. But, you know, pick one up. Help us out. We love doing this. We love giving you guys quality content. This helps keep us going. All right. I messaged Tony 2 weeks ago going into last week's show. Let's pick our All-American team for this year, our 2023-2024 All-American team. And Tony gave me the big old thumbs up in the DMs. So I was like, all right, we're going to be good to go. And then Purdue and Marquette, or Purdue and Illinois, Marquette and UConn happened. We chose our fandom over podcasting. Still the right decision, in my opinion.
It just shows
bandwagon nerds could be. Yeah, I was like, bandwagon nerds could be in danger if Illinois makes the Big Ten final. Because that's 3 o'clock on a Sunday, man. Like, I'm just saying. You all might be carrying on without me.
Start early.
I don't know. I mean, we'll be doing our own March Madness over there on the BEWN anyway. So it'll be all right. We'll see what happens. But, Tony, before we get into this, how difficult was it to make your list? I already said on at the opener of the show, for me, I had no trouble with four names, and that fifth name was the tough one.
No, I think it was pretty clear.
Oh, Tony said 5 minutes, so there you go.
No, I didn't say 5 minutes. I just said I think it was pretty clear for me on who I think it was.
It was maybe ten.
It was a good 22 minutes.
22. Here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you made this list,
yeah,
do you care about position or do you go with the best five?
No, I tried to have two guards and then three front line guys.
Oh, I said fuck that.
Okay.
I went with a playable five. I will say that, like, you could put my five on the court.
I guess I do have three guards. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I went three guards, a forward, and a big.
I think we have the same. I think we have the same.
I will see. I'll be interested to see who you went with. Let's go with what I think is the biggest no brainer and is the front runner for player of the year. My unquestionable first name that I wrote down, I'm a Big Ten guy. I hate playing against this dude. I can't wait for him to graduate and get the hell out of here because you just can't teach 7'4", and you just can't teach Zach Edey. And here's the other thing. A lot of people like to say, well, he's tall and he's big, and that's why he's so good. He's good. Like, it's not just that he's big. He is really good at the basketball.
He's a really good college basketball player.
Oh yeah, he's not going to be a professional basketball player at all. He's too much of a traditional center.
Europe bound.
Now, have you seen? Here's the thing that's so Purdue. Zach Edey is leaving. They're bringing in a 7'2" kid, and all the videos of him is just him standing around the perimeter knocking down threes. I hate to break it down. Purdue's going to run the Big Ten again next year if this kid is as good as they think it is, like as he looks. Because that dude, I mean, granted, he's shooting uncontested, but they got a big guy that you can't leave alone on the perimeter.
Do we blame Jack Sikma for all of this? Does it start way back then?
Maybe. I mean, ever since Painter's been there, he loves him a good 7-footer. They're not always a hit. Like, I'll just say that. Like, Isaac Haas, not the best 7-footer. But he had him. So, Zach Edey, he was on yours as well, I'm assuming?
Oh, yes. Zach Edey for sure. What, 24 points a game, 11 rebounds, two blocks?
He's a beast. All right. Who's your next? Who's another name on your All-American list?
RJ Davis, for sure.
Mine too. Yep, I had RJ Davis on mine as well.
Yeah, what, over more than 21 points a game, nearly 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists. He is the general of the North Carolina basketball team. Like, they go the way he goes, and he's been going. So that's why they're in contention for a number one seed. I think that was the second no-brainer for me.
Here's the other thing that all of these guys on my team that I have listed, it's very much like when you're in trouble, at least, we can say we got that guy. And he can say, like, RJ Davis scored damn near 50 points in a game and just carried North Carolina to a win. And then, oh yeah, they've got Armando Bacot. Like just take it out. So that's an excellent choice. Same page there. I went with a guy that I lost my mind over, and then he probably had a couple bad games in a row. I still don't think that it takes away from his All-American status. Dalton Kincaid, 21 points a game, damn near 5 boards a game, 2 assists. He has been a game changer for Tennessee. He is why Tennessee is in the conversation for a number one seed. There are times where Tennessee just hands him the ball and says, make a play, and he does it. And this guy's a transfer, 6'6 guard, but can play kind of all over the place and does. Like, he posts guys up. He plays on the wing. He's really, really good.
Yeah, I got him at forward just so we had, like, you know, we don't have 4 guards and Zach Edey here. But 6'30.
But that's a great lineup with Zach Edey, like, in a college game.
For sure.
Like,
but, yeah, 6 30 point games for Dalton, 2 against top 10 teams. So, you know, he can put it, he can fill it up when you know, in clutch situations. So, yeah, these are the 3 easiest no-brainer, and then you start to kind of do a little research after that. But I mean, it sounds like we're gonna have the same next couple ones here.
Well, we'll see. So yeah. Who's your next?
Tristan Newton from UConn.
You
can't, like, 15 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. That's like a college triple-double almost averaging. You know what I'm saying? And on possibly the best team in the country, depending on you want to go with them or Houston, who has both had their little hiccup each. But the dude is just – he's solid, and he's long at 6'5". You know what I'm saying? So had to put him in there.
Absolutely. And UConn was tough because UConn – and Houston, to a degree, they both, their teams where, you know, these first 3 players that we let, like all 3 of the players that we started with, Edey, Dalton Kincaid, and RJ Davis, they average over 20 points a game. That is just an easy, tangible thing to do. The UConn and Houston are very balanced in sort of the distribution of scoring. And so you start to look at everything. And Tristan Newton is absolutely a guy whose motor really, really, it helps a UConn team that is just fucking loaded with talent. You know, they had two first teamers because Cam Spencer? Is that the other guy? There were 2 guys on UConn squad that made first team All Big East. I think it was Cam Spencer. Cam Spencer. He was transferred from like Rutgers, and you won in place for UConn. Heck of a player too. He's not my last. He's not my final pick for my All-American team. My 5th person, which we've matched up on 4 so far. My 5th is Jamal Shedd out of Houston. And is he your 5th one too?
Yeah.
Did we match up all the way?
Yeah, we did.
So here's the thing. I had 2 other names that I wrestled with, and I'll explain why I didn't put him in over Jamal. Tristan Newton was the last name that I threw on. Jamal Shedd, he's only averaging about 13 points a game, but he's a defensive nightmare. And you wouldn't know by just looking at the metrics where, you know, or looking at the numbers where it says he averages 3 steals a game, basically. But he doesn't foul. He gets in people's face. He averages damn near 7 assists a game. He averages 4 rebounds a game. He just does a little bit of everything on the court for Houston. And again, he's the straw that stirs the drink for that team and has just been awesome. He's only played 19 games this season too. That's the thing. He's been hurt. And that was a factor that really, I kind of wrestled with whether or not to keep him, but you know, his 3-point percentage is up. Damn, is up 10% from what he was last year. His overall field goal percentage is up to 50% from damn near 40% from last year. His assist rate is about the same. His rebounds were up. His free throw percentage was up. His steals held about the same. His fouls went down. He turns the ball over less. Jamal Shedd, my last pick.
You said it all right there. I agree with you for all of those reasons. I mean, the stats are impressive, and then the things that he brings that don't show up in the stat book for that team that's possibly and is kind of the number one team in the nation right now. Do you want to get into the couple of guys?
Yeah, I can do my two. His injuries have really hurt him, and he's been up and down. But we talked about him earlier in the podcast. I had Tyler Kolek just on the outside looking in. I watched him play in person when he, or, you know, on TV when he played, when Marquette played at Illinois, and there was no stopping him. Like, and he was hurt. Like, he was playing on an injury, on a bum leg, and he was getting to the rim at will. He was distributing the ball at will. He makes everybody on Marquette better. And a healthy Tyler Kolek takes Marquette far, potentially Final Four far. And without him, they're a different team.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. They're 100%. Daron Holmes from Dayton putting up 20. Eight points.
He's awesome.
In the two blocks on a team that just looks really good too. Had to give a shout out to him. Do you have anybody else?
All right. So my last one's controversial. And you can call me a homer if you want. But you can't tell me that Terrence Shannon Jr. isn't one of the best 15 players in college basketball. And as a basketball player and what his performance has been on the court, is every bit as good as any other All-American, but he missed six games because it was suspended, and is currently charged with rape in the state of Kansas. There's a lot of question about that. He's obviously vigorously defending himself. He claims that what happened and didn't happen. I don't know if the legal system's got to play that out, but Illinois isn't a Sweet 16 team without Illinois. When he left the team due to a suspension, Illinois was really cooking, and I think was a much different team than what they've had to try and figure out with him gone and then coming back. He is about as good a defender as you will see. If you watch Illinois' last five games, whoever Terrence Shannon guards is ineffective. Period. End of discussion. The only exception to that was Braden Smith in the second half of the Purdue game. And that was really tip your cap to Braden Smith hitting some shots over a guy that was guarding him. But he's an eraser, and he's a human fast break. He's averaging in this last stretch, he's averaging something like 25 points a game in the last five games. He's been really, really good. He's playing at an All-American level, and the legal system will determine his career after this college basketball season. He's not going to be on All-American teams because of these charges, but he's based on performance, he's every bit of an All-American as anybody else we can name. And I think he's one of the 10 best players in basketball. I think he's one of the four best guards in basketball, but I couldn't put him on a first team.
Well, not to end in such controversy, I'll throw one more name out there. Jaden Leedy from San Diego State. Big guy's been carrying him out there, shooting better than 55%, 20-8. Just a very solid basketball player. Just to give some of the big men we didn't get involved in there a shout out. So, yeah, I know we're leaving out a couple of bigger school names there, but I wanted to leave the shout outs for this after the first team to some of the smaller schools. So,
yeah, absolutely. So cool. All right, I think that's a good list. I think it's a good place to end this week's podcast. Next week, everyone, we will be reacting to a bracket.
And giving our picks.
It's going to be a very, very exciting podcast. So make sure you come back. Before we get out of here, Tony. I did an old habit. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you hop over to the X Twitter and other social medias. Follow me at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. I am Mr. Chair Shot these days. I'm on 4 days a week right now for a little while, talking basketball, talking hockey, talking nerd stuff, talking wrestling. I'm doing every aspect of the sports entertainment and sports entertainment podcasting network piece. So follow me, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, you can follow me at PC Tunny. Patrick took forever there, so I had to restart the music. And he flipped me off. Now he's ready for Greg DeMarco. See you next week!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.